Warmest greetings to anyone listening to this conversation this morning. I believe we've got a real treat for you. I'm Rob Christie. I've been involved in personal growth and transformation for decades. And I've had the good fortune of working with a number of powerful teachers, and I'm with one of them this morning. His name is Jim Hamilton. He's my dear friend. He's the author of 5 books. And most importantly, he's come up with several technologies which have been proven again and again to support anyone who makes a significant effort to embrace them. One of the important concepts as one goes through life and encounters different experience is the notion of allowing, as contrasted with trying to make something happen. And I'm sure everyone listening's experienced this at some point, probably more than once. There are times in your life when you've got to make a decision, when you've got to make a choice, when you're feeling very strongly that taking some other direction is what there is to do. How does allowing fit into that equation, Jim?
Rob, as always, good to spend some time. I appreciate our conversations. I appreciate your the way you look at it and the way you bring ideas back to me, for which we get to share with others. And so, you know, what comes to mind when you were remarking here is that people having to make big choices, that can be difficult. And usually it's a product of making small choices continuously, seeing the feedback from our choices, making new choices. Because I've said humanity will go right to the edge of oblivion and make a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn. And I don't mean that politically. But at the very last second, we will divert from certain catastrophic possibilities as a species, and it's going to be a product of making choices, seeing the results of our choices, making new choices, seeing the results of those choices, and making new choices again. And the fun part is, here we are in 2023, and we're making choices and seeing the results of our choices faster than we ever did. We're watching the Ukraine war, or whatever that's called, and the part drones play, and we're watching how quickly things are, I don't want to say escalating, how quickly successes are achieved because we're growing so much faster and we're learning so much faster. And all of those are choice points as a species, you might say. And so for people that have to make big decisions without having always been involved in making choices, I can see the difficulty in that. And of course, your gut feeling is the most important factor, but your gut needs to be quiet and available to hear and feel what it identifies for you. Because I don't know if people know it, but the gut has its own nervous system called the enteric nervous system. And actually, that's where knowing is an emotion, or knowing is a feeling. And knowing tells you the difference between right and wrong. Feelings tell you the difference between right and wrong. That's Abraham teachings stuff. That's Abraham says, what you focus on expands. That's true. But there's also a feeling associated with each choice or each chunk of focus. And it can tell you how useful that focus is. So not only can you focus on what you want, focus on what expands you, there's actually a mechanism that tells you the usefulness of that. So when people are making big choices, hopefully They've learned how to quiet their nervous system. They've learned how to read their gut. They've learned how to listen to this inner mechanism that is part of their very nature. And for others, I would say, well, it just occurs to me, sometimes people have to make big choices, and they live with their choices, and they can always still continue to refine the ramifications of their choices. They can always still choose toward more coherence. And sometimes people have to move across the country on short notice, and they have to reestablish their patterns and habits on short notice. And all those patterns and habits are choice points. And we can build anything out of nothing. I moved to LA a number of years ago. I was on a real high after finishing Visionaries Thrive in All Times. I had a bunch of money in my pocket, the second physicist in neurofeedback I had sold for him. And I went to LA and I only picked what I wanted. Oh, to the point of paying, I was paying $2,600 rent compared to $750 in Sedona. And but all I did was make choices that I aligned with. And I had an incredible, I carved out an incredible experience in my time in LA, which was a year, and then I went up to Ojai for another year and a half, which that's when Core Resonance was all developed. So we can, even if we have big choices, there's silver linings in all of them, and better than that, in the infinitesimally small components after that choice has been made, we can always build ourselves uphill by making the small choices after the big one that take us in the right direction. We can't disregard the small choices and the small, what I call choice points. They're never ending. And then you add allowing, and you watch how your choice points go, and then you keep refining and refining, refining your choice points, and you keep adding, allowing, and refining your choice points, and moving away from things that are dissonant, moving toward things that are coherent. Big decision could be a very powerful concept for you. Big unexpected decision, because you have all of a sudden everything's new. All of a sudden you're in free territory where all your patterns and habits have been left behind. What a powerful place to be. What a powerful spot. Everything you have has been disrupted. Just the idea of moving across country or having to make a big choice about a job or who knows what. You've left your stuff behind. You've made a new major choice, and you can reestablish so much at that particular point. And of course, I do coaching, so I wouldn't mind trying to pitch myself. That's not my point. But sometimes choice points are big, and sometimes a hand is handy.
Well, as I listen, Jim, the message I'm getting is that being at one of these choice points in your life doesn't have to be intimidating if you have a technology available, or I guess another way to put it is, or a track to run on, or the knowledge of how to proceed. You use the phrase allowing to do the heavy lifting under those circumstances. Say more about that for our listeners.
Well, let me go back. Let me go back to where I was just a second. When our patterns and habits, when our life gets disrupted by a major choice, we then have to reestablish our patterns and habits. And it's in the reestablishment of all those patterns and habits. Those are all choice points, and we can rebuild when we've had a big disruption or had to make a big choice. We can rebuild our life by recognizing that what we're really doing is reestablishing our patterns and habits. And so all of those can all be choice points designed to take us uphill. So initially, I was a little mystified about somebody having to make a major choice and that maybe doesn't have a lot of background in allowing and this and that, and I haven't worked up to that. But the fact of the matter is, a big choice point gives you an opportunity of a clear field and the ability to reestablish your patterns and habits. Because guess what? Your life and your experiences in life comes from the patterns and habits you establish. Ultimately, my patterns and habits are what I call self-healing, and they continue to refine themselves on their own. What I want Is my life to be run by my patterns and habits that I established? So that means all of that is automated while I have all my resources available for listening to the cosmos and on and on. To go off into allowing, doing the heavy lifting, that's brand new. Today is Wednesday, and I think it was last Friday morning. I wrote a flyer. I'm going to do some talks in California. And I came up with an expression as part of this flyer. All the while, I'll read a little bit more. What are we tracking? The part the cosmos plays in our lives and the part the cosmos plays in the governance of all life on planet Earth as we learn how to blend the two. And then I say, all the while learning about choice points and allowing to do the heavy lifting. So what we're trying to get here in our conversation right now is an understanding of what allowing means and how allowing does all the work. Our job, you might say the rudder, the boat goes through the water and the rudder's back here, and it actually has kind of a small function, but it drives the whole ship. It drives the whole everything. And so choice points are choices we make, and preferably when we make them, we're making them with a sense toward more coherence or moving away from dissonance. And as we learn how to make choice points, we move to allowing, and then what happens is life then goes on in light and allowing actually is the boat and how the boat goes through the water. The choice points are the tiny adjustments in the rudder. And so as we have choice points and allow the life unfolds, and it does it on its own, and all we do is steer it. We don't do the heavy lifting. Right now, and most of us, or lots of us in our lives, we're trying to manually run the whole damn process. We're trying to make the choices and make sure the choices turn out and make sure the choices turn out, and then changing the choices when they, and steering them and steering them and steering them. And by the way, manipulating the daylights out of everybody else and on and on and on, and controlling this and controlling that. And allowing, when you understand allowing is hands off. Quality choice points and allowing actually does all the delivery. Kind of new. I mean, it's simple and that's what it is, but my interpretation of allowing doing the heavy lifting, it's a very cool, something new in my realm here as I'm trying to learn how to explain it.
I'm reminded of a movie that I saw years ago. The basic dilemma was there's a crew of the good guys in this submarine, and either in order to accomplish their objective, which I forget, it was either to get away or attack, one or the other. But they had to maneuver the submarine through, there's rocks on this side and rocks on this side. And if they didn't go right down the center of that opening, it could, damage the ship, possibly fatally. And I remember, the captain is at the
Was
controls.
that Sean Connery by chance? Was it The
Well,
Hunt for Red
probably.
October?
It's the sort of movie he made.
Yeah.
So the captain's there steering, and he's listening to, one of the crew who is monitoring every nuance of motion. But what that analogy reminds me of is allowing. They weren't trying to force that. They weren't trying to force that sub through the opening. They were using tiny nuances of movement. And what you're sharing with us is that when we reach one of those choice points in our life where we have a significant decision to make, we have to learn how to allowing to do the heavy lifting. and not to assume that we have to make something happen or force something to happen, but rather listening to our inner knowing and make small choices that adjust the process as we go.
That's right. So that's what choice points are. They're the tiny rudder adjustments for which allowing, because you've got to make the tiny, you make the choice point and you let the choice point be. You make the choice and you let it be. You don't go in there and adjust it and adjust it and adjust it and adjust it. Maybe you start making better choices, but and you learn that process. I had an analogy I want to use. Let's see. Oh, yes, I remember. So, living in Sedona for so many years, the car wash is one of the places I used to sell lots of visionaries thrive at all time. I sold more of them there than the bookstores in town. But there was another book in there, and I'd sit there and get my car washed, and sometimes I'd collect my money, whatever, however all that worked. And it was the book was about, it was a Navy SEAL who maybe was a local Sedona person. And because the book was generally, the books in the car wash were generally locals. And what he talked about was as a Navy SEAL or whatever special forces he was in, the incredible intuitive nature that they learned to share among themselves. And in other words, they became nonverbal as they did their little tricks of the trade and snuck around in the bushes. I shouldn't say it like that, but as they did what they did. And my point is, there's a world beyond the mind and the mind's version of what's what. And we need to learn how to tune into that. So choice points, the more refined our choice points are, the less effort we put in, and we want to learn how to make choices and allow the outcomes. And yeah, if it starts to become dissonant, we need to make a new choice point. But like my move into Panama, which I was really serious about. Long Beach is where I was going to ship out of, and where I was going to stage my storage from my U-Haul truck in Sedona to where I was going to stage it, put it in a container. I don't remember. It's probably a, actually, if I went to a 40-foot container, I would look to put my car in the container. So probably a 20 by 20 container. But as that went along, it finally faded out as the excitement of it changed because some of the things on the other end of the trip started to change. I really ultimately became clear I didn't want to be with this. I didn't want to work with this guy, ultimately. But I could see my excitement and it drove for a while and then it became dissonant and made a new choice point. And but that happened over a couple of months. So because it was exciting and I liked all the shopping for shipping and whether I was going to move the car from Houston or Long Beach. I think it ended up Long Beach, but of course it didn't happen. So the fun part is, as we learn how to listen to our internal mechanism, and meditation is generally the entry point to that of quieting the mind and learning how to listen, we make choices at a more subtle, in a more subtle manner. We allow our choices in a more subtle manner, and life then runs on its own, which is what the heavy lifting part is. So I think of an example of somebody that's trying to run an operation, and all she's doing is getting herself deeper in doing a poor job. And she hasn't got the sense to just, actually, I'll tell you what, when you have momentum running in a direction that's not serving you, you don't really try to fix it. What you do is your first thing is you just come to a dead stop. You don't make any choices until the momentum of the wrong direction settles. You don't immediately try to steer into a new direction. You have something that's not going well. Let the momentum, the patterns and habits of it, let them come to a stop. And once you get internally quiet, then go for a choice point. That makes sense.
I remember 26 years ago, I had a weightlifting partner. We both weighed exactly 152 pounds. However, our capacity was vastly different. David was in the Guinness World Book of Records because he had once squatted over three times his body weight. So imagine a 152-pound man with 450 pounds on his back, squatting. We worked out 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday was back and biceps. Wednesday was chest and triceps. Friday was legs. Every day was abs. And the good news was I could do David's workout, not with his weights. We'd have to take, a number of plates off the bar, but I could do the workout. And I got a lot of good advice from David. This dude was an expert on the human body and how to train it. And I remember one day he said to me, "If it doesn't feel good, don't do it." And how often do we ignore that simple advice as we encounter a choice point in our lives?
That's exactly right. So resonance tells us about everything we need to do or not do. And if something feels dumb or feels, now, risk and adventure are interesting and maybe a little bit different, but if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. If you don't have that sense of accomplishment or that sense of knowing, just going nilly-willy risking and just throwing it all out there, I don't think that's a very good idea at all. So your
Or
gut will
forcing
tell you.
yourself to do something that on some level you know is not the right choice.
I like the idea that allowing does heavy lifting. They're so kind of counter to each other because allowing means allowing and heavy lifting means, but you see, how do our realities show up? They show up based on our focus. And by the way, reaction is focus. A lot of people react to life and they wonder why they got what they got in their lives, but they're reacting to life and reacting is focus, even though the messaging that goes with reaction is usually anything from terror to anger to who knows what. And then you got all the more allowing you have to do because you got to allow your way out of all of that to get back to neutral. But allowing is probably one of the biggest secrets there is because allowing delivers you what you cannot get on your own. Because allowing, you're plugged into consciousness, you're plugged into innate intelligence, source, whatever you want to call it. And you're allowing, see, I call it, part of my work's about becoming blended with source. The more blended with source you are, the less mind you are, the less mind you have. And the more blended with source, the more allowing, because allowing is how you get to become blended with source. In fact, consciousness and resistance are inverse. So as you move away from resistance and rigidity, you automatically move to allowing. And as you move to more allowing and even more allowing, which eventually becomes a mindless thing, become more blended with source. And the more blended with source, the more the possibilities are so much bigger than what you could ever achieve on your own.